So we have been in this season that feels like it has been like forever about our assignment, our calling, where we're going, all of the different ways of saying that over the past year and a half, even the past two Sundays. Two Sundays ago, Bill had this teaching about community and being different than the ways of the world and about pressing in through that, through community. Jim was talking about taking dominion, all of this for our calling, the things that the Lord has called us to, and so on. And they're all great, and that's so where I'm at. Because I want to be where the Lord's called me. I want to be living in that assignment. I want to be living in that place. But as time has gone on, I've got a little bit discouraged. I've questioned, what is my calling? What is my place? Where am I supposed to be? What is this life to look like? These things have come in, and I shared this a few months ago and had some strongholds, some things that I thought needed to be broken off so I could go into the fullness of the Lord. And I feel like I just need to catch myself up to speed. I feel like some of you can relate, is that I need some more things broken off. Because I'm kind of not there. I'm not living in the fullness. I'm not living to what he's told me, what he's called me to. And so I want to address those things. And when I was talking to the Lord about that, I was like, this has taken a really long time. Like, if you would have told me 22 years ago, I mean, I've been saved longer than that, but I've only been spirit-filled, however you want to call that or whatever that looks like, for 22 years. Before I had an intimacy with the Lord and the supernatural and looking for more, if you had told me 22 years ago that in some aspects my life is more than I thought it would be, in other places it's not, I probably would have been a little bit disappointed, a little bit upset. And so the Lord was like, what happens if it's not in the journey? What happens if it is in the journey and not so much about the destination? Okay, where we're going. You got this assignment, you got this call, and it's taking you a lot longer than you thought to get there. And you thought you knew what it was, and then it changed, and it was something else. And then you were confused, and then you thought, yeah, that's it. And then you thought, oh, I'm getting old. Maybe I should just not worry about it anymore. You know, all those thoughts, right? Okay, well, you're not too old. You're not too old. I had dinner with my almost 90-year-old mother yesterday, and I was thinking about, oh, well, that's a long time from now for me. We're not too old. So, what's keeping us from that? What's keeping us? Ourselves, our pasts, our things, our guilt, our what we did wrong, what we should have did right, I didn't go to the right ministry school. Because if I went to that other ministry school, like, you know, like 50 people out of that year's class planted churches and they're all writing books, but I went to this ministry school and I don't know, there's like, you know, people working the pole in LA and stuff. I mean, it's like, you don't know. It's not about where you choose to go, it's what the Lord's doing in that or where you choose to be. And you come in and you question and you wonder and you think, oh, what's going on? Because we're in our natural reasoning. Can you put the slide up? So moving in our superpowers. Ephesians 3:20. This particular verse hit me. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work in us. More abundantly. Thinking according to his power. It's that natural reasoning. We got to get out of that natural reasoning and get into the superpower that we have. And I love the supernatural. I love all of that, you know. I love Jesus, too. He loved me first. I loved him. But I've been captivated by all that. And the Lord hit me, supernatural superpowers. What is that to you? Because I always look at it as the boom and the bang, right? The ability to love, the ability to give forgiveness is a supernatural power. Is supernatural. My daughter, she had this, her first incident in kindergarten with someone, a situation, and some things were said to her. And this particular daughter, she's real sensitive, and she came home, and she was all upset, and she was all crying, and it wasn't really that bad of a thing. And she said, I said, well, you know what you need to do? And she just learned the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses and those that trespass against us. I was like, Selah, that's the prayer that we've been learning, to forgive your trespasses. And she's like, it's not in me to forgive. She's like, I'm mad. I'm sad. She's like, it's just not in me. And I'm like, you're right. It's not naturally in us. It's a supernatural thing that the world doesn't have that we have because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts for love. So we can forgive. It's past that we're moving on. And so when I talk about supernatural or I talk about superpowers, I'm talking about the boom and the bang because I love those. But there is a heart of the love, a heart of the forgiveness that we have to dive into. And that doesn't always come easy. Because usually if you got to forgive someone, they hurt you. I don't like to be hurt. So in intercession this morning and the past time, we have been repenting and we have been pulling close to God and asking the Lord to forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of those things that we hold on to that separate us from the love of the Lord. And every time in the Bible that God moved on someone, he also moved in a supernatural way. The same God that's with us now, Yeshua, Yahweh, that same God. All these stories are written because of the power of Jesus, because of the power of the Holy Spirit touching man, touching that. Enoch, you know, he's just walking with the Lord. He's taken up into the kingdom, into the heaven. He's brought down. He's taken up, he's brought down. Moses, Noah, from the old to the new, all of these plans of man were changed by God, by the power of God. So if we're not moving in that supernatural, and again, that includes a lot. If we are not moving in that supernatural, then I don't believe we're moving in what's natural to us, the power of God, because it is what is within us. So what is that keeping us? What are the things keeping us? So I wanted to address three topics. They have been big for me, but I've been talking to people, and I think they're kind of big for everyone. Do you see your future? Do you see your assignment? Do you see your calling? Maybe some of you aren't even there yet, or it's changed, or I don't know. Mine just changed this week, so you never know. Number one is concern of time. When I talked about getting older, I saw a lot of the older people eyes light up. No, I'm not too old. I'm not too old for that. I'm not too old. But we have this idea of time that we put it on our natural time, not the supernatural time of God. And I was asking the Lord, I had all these things I wanted to complete, all these things that I wanted to do, and they're still not happening. And he said, look at Noah. Okay, let's go ahead and go there. This guy, okay, he was like 600 years old. Talking about age. A different time. This is before the canopy broke. Perfect environment. I'm sure that allowed his age to last on. Genesis 6, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures, none among them, for I regret that I made them. Okay, now that's a before Jesus time. That's an angry God there. He is unhappy with what has happened. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You know, through the blood of Jesus, we're all finding favor in the Lord. We all have the favor of Noah. Among the darkness, among the wickedness, we have the favor through the blood of Jesus Christ. But this man, Noah, he had favor. In a harder time it was to have favor. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence. Because of them, I am going to destroy both of them and the earth, so make yourself an ark. And he goes on to say how everything will be flooded, everything will be taken away. So then it hit me, right? He got this plan, took 100 years to build the ark. It's not going to take 100 years to reach my plan, my accomplishment. Took 100 years. You know, probably was 500 or whatever when it happened. And do you think he labored? Yes, he labored. He labored. Would I have given up in that? I don't know. I would like to think not. I'm not giving up on what the Lord has called me to, my assignment. May not be building the ark, but it's building something. And it was for one moment. It was for one event. One moment, one event, 100 years of work. Maybe your ultimate call, maybe the ultimate thing is for one event. His event was to save all humanity. One event. So the Lord was like, okay, yeah, I've called you to some things. It's going to take a long time. Enjoy the journey, because you're going to miss it if you don't enjoy the journey. So I have decided, if you're with me, Lord, we just say that we're going to enjoy the journey, that we're not going to be so stuck on the destination, so stuck on what we think our life is all about, but the journey, every part of the way. Every part of the way. I have two daughters. The first one walked at like 10 months. The other one walked at like 2 years. So I had like this 11-month span of time that was different than the first one. I lost a big chunk of that time because I was like, is she going to walk? Is she going to walk? For almost a whole year of her life, I was so obsessed with her destination of walking that I missed it, because I was overcome with fear, I was overcome with worry, whatever the things is, I totally missed that year of her life. So I'm not going to miss the journey of the Lord no more. I'm not going to be concerned about the outcome, but what's happening. Okay, so that was the time, being concerned of time. Number two is, I shared on this once before, but it is such a big one, is comparison. Comparison and competition. When Bill was talking about the body being the body 2 weeks ago, he actually used this same verse, but something struck me when he was saying this. Just as the body has many parts, but all of its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. And then you skip down, 1 Corinthians 12, I'm in 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Skipping down further, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On contrary, those are the parts of the same body. So as a community, as a people, it's like, yeah, we need each other. We do. Because you don't do what I do. And I don't do what you do. And there's a season of that. And regardless, if it's your worship, if it's your work, whatever it is, it's a part of what's happening in this community. It's a part of what's happening in this place. I had someone come up to me, and they were visiting after they haven't been here for many years, and they said, oh, they said, I really missed you worshiping. Like, you got so into worship and you're dancing. I really miss you worshiping. I was like, well, I'm still worshiping. It might not look like it did, but it changed. It changed. Because I'm doing things now I didn't do in that season. So we acknowledge that you all might be doing something different in this season that you're not doing in 10 years from now. Now, why was I in that season? Because it's all I could do. I knew that God did a supernatural move in my life, and I was forever grateful, and I was touched by the Holy Spirit, and something inside of me wanted to express that. At the time, I didn't even know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the gospel. I knew nothing. I could not find a book in the Bible, nothing. But I could dance. And I could take what I have and I could give praise and worship to him. And so the Lord just wants you to know today that wherever you're at, wherever that place you are is your worship, it is your praise, and that we need it. Because every piece is a piece. And did I get focused on, well, I want to do what they're doing? Yes, I did. Because I was new, you know, I was immature. I wasn't comfortable with my own identity. I wasn't comfortable with who I was. So I wanted that and that. I was trying to find out who I was. And so if you're trying to find out today who you are in this community, in the overall community, your calling, your place, your things in the world that you want to do, it's okay to mess up. Go try something. If it doesn't work out, do something else. But my goodness, keep after it. Keep after it. Keep after it. It's that work. Noah. 100 years to build the ark. You're on a journey. Enjoy the journey. What happens if the destination comes at the last few years of your life? Actually, that's what happened to Jesus. There's a lot going on. A lot going on. It took a while to get there. You know, we're turning the tables. We know that, and the next thing we know is what happened in those 15, 18, whatever many years there was in between. Maybe you're in those 15 or 18 years. I don't know. But he continued on. We continue on. So, Lord, I just shake off discouragement in Jesus' name. That discouragement that comes in the journey because you've lost sight of the destination, or maybe it strikes you, oh, I'm going to the wrong destination. Whatever it is, Lord, I thank you that discouragement is leaving us now, and we thank you that the encourager is coming. Thank you, Lord. So we got rid of worrying about the time. We got rid of comparison. The competition, because it's really the core is our identity. Because once we are comfortable with ourselves and fully what we're called to in the Lord, I don't care how I finish the race. Because I'm finishing my race. I'm not finishing a race with everyone else. And the third one we're going to talk about is apathy. Being apathetic. When I first came to know the Lord, and I really took a heart for intercession, like right from the beginning, I loved it. I still love it. It's one of those things that I know that my call is. And I read this book, and it was on spiritual mapping. It was by John Dawson. I think it was like in 85. You know, I read it in probably 95, so 10 years later. And he, I don't even know if he's still alive. Is he still alive, Steve? Do you know? He's still alive. He was like, seemed like he was really old then. But I guess we're all getting older. And he wrote this book on different, him and a team of intercessors went, he was with YWAM at the time, went and they mapped the whole entire country and they mapped what was a predominant situation, stronghold, thing, however you call that. I like going with stronghold. There was a stronghold over this area, and two of them were, the main two, were competition and were apathy. And I remember praying that through and everything, and that was 20 years ago, and I was thinking about that, and I was like, how much I deal with that? How much is that impacting my own life? And the Lord was like, well, your city's free from it, so you need to get free from it. It's like, this area is not what it was 20 years ago. It's not. At all. It doesn't even look the same. This county doesn't look the same. This city doesn't look the same. We have this whole Amazon headquarters, you know, we're in the top 10 or whatever for them to move here. And it's like you look at all the cities, and it's like Los Angeles, Chicago, that, and then you see our little name there. The vice president from here. I feel like there's an eye on this region. I feel like it's that intercession that has gone forth to break off that apathy, to break off those things that this country, that we have a specific part to be in that. But I believe that competition, that apathy just kind of leaks into our culture. So I want to put it on notice in my life that that's the past, that I am moving on in the things of the Lord. Apathy. I have heard this before. I did not come up with this first part of this, but I have some revelation on it. It happens to be in Revelation 3. The church of Laodicea. I wrote that out, how I would read it. So I'm probably going to butcher that name up as I read this, but Laodicea. So what I'm saying is, if I butcher out that name, just let's skip over it. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, these are the words of the Amen to the faithful, to the true witness, to the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do a need for nothing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind. Okay, these people were apathetic. And the Lord says, to neither be hot nor cold. What does that mean? To not be hot, to not be cold. I was always filtering that under my charismatic interpretation of you gotta be hot. You gotta be hot. You gotta be hot for the Lord. You gotta be on fire for the Lord. You gotta be hot. And so you're cold, you're the opposite. So the Lord's okay with cold people, and he's okay with hot people. He just doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Well, that just doesn't connect. But hot water is good for some things, and cold water is good for some things, right? You can use hot water. You can use cold water. I guess there's some instances you may want a lukewarm water. I don't know. I don't think I use it much in my life. I seem like I'm either heating it or I'm making it cold. The middle is the apathetic, apathy, the not being one or the other, because God wants to use us. The supernatural, the natural state of us is God using us. You have to work at being hot. You have to work at being cold. But what happens on a cold day most often? You want something hot. You want some hot coffee, right? And on a hot day, you want some cold tea. You want something cold. You want the opposite of what the world has. You want the opposite of your environment. And so the Lord is birthing us to be opposite than our environment, of what we're needed to be. If you put an ice cube outside in the heat, it's going to melt, because that's the natural environment. He wants us to stay cold, just as he wants us to stay hot. So I am saying today that we are not in the middle, that we are useful water for you, Jesus. We are useful water for you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just break off that that apathy, those things in our lives. Maybe some of you aren't that. I'm not putting that on you, but I get that way myself. I go through the motions. Don't have that same zeal that I once had for the Lord. And that's why he's breaking off. At least that's what he's been doing in me. Because he wants us to be full of him, his instruments in this world. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so we got those ways of thinking, those things out of our mind. go to John 21. I think I have a slide for this. If I do, pull it up. Because this is what I felt as we're looking for our call, our assignment, all the different things we have called, all the different things we have said it. I had this thing, it's like, well, what happens if I'm like fishing in the wrong place? What happens if I'm casting my nets in the wrong place? He didn't say that I was, but I could be. I want to be open to the possibility of where he's telling me to cast my net. So as we get free from all those thinkings, all those mindsets, all those things, I want to be about Jesus. I want to be about his plans. I want to cast my net in the right place. Some of you, when I mentioned about being old, you were like, yeah, I can still do it. I can still do that. Well, the truth is, I probably don't have 47 more years of casting my net someplace that is not going to reap a harvest. So as I do that, I want to come to you, Holy Spirit. Come to you, Lord. Lord, we come to you today. That's the Lord, thank you. The Lord is telling us new places to cast our nets, new jobs, new ideas, new businesses, new avenues, new technologies for business. He's like, the peace of the Holy Spirit. He's telling us the peace of the Holy Spirit. No striving. Oh my goodness. Have you ever been around people that fish and have bass boats in that? They are so territorial. They are so territorial over their land, water, environment, whatever you want to call that. I don't know, water. They don't share it. They don't talk about it. They'll spend hours looking for that special place. They're striving to find that place. They're striving to find the right lake, the right river, the right line. But you know what? We don't have to strive. We just have to ask, where do you want us to cast our nets? So I'm asking that today. Where do you want me to cast my nets, Lord? And that may mean something different to all of you. So we're going to read this. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Nathanael, two other disciples were going out to fish. Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. They went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Okay, so this is after Jesus is gone. So this is the supernatural, the Jesus of heaven. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Yeah. I want him guiding my net throwing. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. So they went from nothing to not being able to haul it in. I feel like there's a lot of places I've thrown my net over the years and there was nothing to haul in. What would it be like to have more than you can haul in? More finances than you can haul in, more opportunities than you can haul in. I'm going to ask again, Lord, show us today where we're to cast our nets. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, now this is important, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. So Simon Peter jumped into the water because he was like, Lord, oh my goodness, it's God. I want to be there. I don't care about my fish anymore. I don't care about my ministry. I don't care about whatever your fish is. I don't care about my job, my career, my finances. It's all that. He told me where to do it, but I'm going to jump in because I want him. I don't care about what's in the net. I want the intimacy of the Lord Jesus. So the Lord's going to honor that here in a minute. So the other disciples he jumped in. The other disciples are following in the boat with that big net they can't hoist up. They're far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. So all these people couldn't pull this net up to the boat, but Simon Peter, who wanted the intimacy of Lord, the closeness with him, went back and got it and did it himself. There is some power in intimacy. There is some power in saying, I am going to jump out of that boat. What were they saying? What were they thinking? It's like, oh, there goes Simon Peter. I don't know how this boat worked. I don't know if they had oars. I don't know, he's jumping in the water. He's swimming, and we got to row this boat with all these fish. He didn't care because he saw Jesus. He wanted to be next to Jesus. Jesus, we don't care. We want to be next to you. Lord, we thank you that intimacy, that wanting to be close to you, wanting to leave our nets full of the things you have told us to do, that we want to leave them. We want to be close to you. We want to touch you. We want to be near you. We thank you that you have given this stuff, that we want to be near you, and then you're going to give us that supernatural strength, those supernatural things to take that and bring back to you. Thank you, Lord, for releasing us from the thoughts, from the knowledge of this world, and coming into that place where we know you, where we know your intimacy, where we know your worship. We need to be different. So that was a two-parter. The things that we have struggled with, the things that we weren't quite feeling it yet, and what I feel like we need to do to finally get to the point of being in the fullness of the assignment and the call of the Lord. And it's the intimacy. Can you imagine him jumping out of the boat? What did that look like? I know what it would look like for me. It's Jesus over there. The Jesus from heaven? Are you going to sit there and be like, hey, let's just sit here? It might look a little undignified. Maybe that's some of your worship. We're so concerned how we look like in worship. You know, those worship moves that, you know, we see on the latest worship videos and all that. Because that's how we're taught to worship. But that intimacy and that thing with the Lord is so powerful, we don't care what we look like. So, Lord, yeah, that's exactly it. So, Lord, we just break off that thing of how we need to look or how we need to be or how we need to act. Maybe you have a teaching gift. Maybe you feel like that's your calling and you have watched all these people and you're like, I need to act like them. I need to deliver the message like them. I need to do it because it's successful for them. And then you go your whole life and it's never successful because it wasn't you. I want to be what the Lord has created me to be. I don't want to look like someone else. I want to be comfortable with that identity. Lord, I thank you that you're releasing identity right now among us. Our true identity where there is no competition, where we're like, I am the foot and I am happy. I am the hand and I am happy. I'm glad you're the foot because I don't want to be the foot. I want to be the hand. You know, we can think about that all we want. There's also just a supernatural way of receiving that. So, Lord, we just receive that. I just feel like he's just giving out identity today. What he's called you to be. So however you pray, just pause there for a moment in the spirit. Lord, we just break off that curse or those things or that our parents or brothers or our brothers or sisters or people have told us that this is what your life is going to look like, that this is who you are. We just break that off in Jesus' name right now, off of those curses that the world has put onto us. There's somebody who was like, you had this second grade teacher, and they were like, you're just never going to amount to nothing. You can hardly read. You're at the bottom of the class. It's like, just go ahead. Just do your artwork because, you know, you're good at that. Every authority figure in our lives, every teacher, every person that didn't know you, that maybe spoke a curse against us, putting us into something that we really were not, we come into the fullness of the identity of Jesus this morning. I'm going to have to stay on this for a moment. I don't know who this is. But they were like, you know her parents. You know what they were to the city. You know who they were. She's going to be just like them. Because that's what that family is. Insert whatever last name there. That's what that family is. And that's what you're going to be like. Lord, we break off that curse that others have put on us, other judgment, other things, so we can come to know our full identity in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you're bringing freedom today. There is an anointing to forget past mistakes. The Lord is saying, I've already forgotten that mistake. I've already forgotten what you did. Stop living in shame. I've already forgotten it. It's you that needs to get over it. Because I see you as perfect. I see you through the blood of Jesus Christ. I see you as what you have been called to be. I was praying about hardship this week, and because I know a lot of people that are in hardship. I think we all do. It's a tough world. And I was praying for this one person. It's a family member, and they're going through a really difficult time and heard something that they didn't need to hear. And the Lord was like, that's where the miracle meets you. Isn't that where the miracle meets you in the hardship? How often do we hear of a miracle and it's because of a hardship? So that in itself is working for something. I know there's hardship here. And Lord, we acknowledge difficult things. We acknowledge hardship, but we thank you that this is the ground, that this is the territory for your miracles to move. Can we just pray that together? Can we just pray a release of miracles over hardships? Lord, we don't think, we don't acknowledge the things of the world, Lord, and we thank you that you're going to change the hardships of the world into the miracles in the kingdom. Okay, and the nets, felt like there was something on that. Lord, we just, we receive right now where we need to cast our nets, whatever the nets may be, new job, new cities. Oh, isn't that horrible when you talk about people moving? I want you to move to a new city. Hey, if that's what the Lord has for you, go. Maybe you've thought about it for 10 years, but you're like, I can't, all my family's here, all my job is here, all my money is here. If the Lord is telling you to cast your net somewhere, that's where the abundance of the fishing is. The fishing grounds of the Lord. So, Lord, We're tired of thinking and striving and coming up with the next move. We thank you that you are going to supernaturally visit us and be like, cast your nets over there. And I thank you because of our intimacy of worship, our intimacy and our love for you, that we are going to have the power to pull that harvest in of fish. I got really jaded about prophetic words over my life a while back. And about words for other people that I didn't see happening. Some of them could never happen at this point. And I became really jaded. And when that bitterness and jadedness came in, I stopped dreaming of what the Lord was going to do, because I was judging him on what did not happen. And today he's releasing big dreams. He's been releasing big dreams in me this past couple weeks. As soon as I looked at the journey I was on and was happy with it, he released some great destinations. And so that's how we're going to close. We're just going to close that we dream again. That we have big dreams. Because God is big. And that we're not going to limit his power in our life. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you release big dreams in our lives. And where we have grown slow in the journey, that we rejoice in the journey. We rejoice in the experience. We say we're open, Lord, for you to use us. And we want to dream like we have never dreamed before. We call out for a holy visitation in our dreams and our families. There is still somebody hanging on to you. You felt like the Lord told you to do something in your life. You felt like he gave you a dream, and because you did something wrong, that dream's not going to happen. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that is renewing old dreams. There is no shame. There is no guilt in what has done, what has happened. You're teaching us to dream again, but you're renewing those old dreams. So, Lord, we leave today here in this place, and we just leave here in even more of you, even more of your intimacy. We jump out of the boat, and we come to you, our friend, our deliverer. The one that gave us eternity. The one that has healed every wound in our hearts. The one that has given us a joy in situations where the world's like, what are you happy about? The one that changes us. People said you could never change. The world said you could never change, but that's because they don't know the one that changes. Lord, make us a living testimony of change. They didn't recognize you after you went to heaven. Lord, we thank you that people are not going to recognize us because of the anointing. They are not going to recognize us because of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. I thank you that you are transcending time and you're changing us from glory to glory. We walk out of here today with power and your peace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.